Fab Lab Podcast, episode 23, How to Delegate, Work Less, and Accomplish More.
Welcome to the Fab Lab Podcast, brought to you by FabricatorsFriend.com. If you own or manage a stone shop and would like to reduce your frustration while increasing your profits, you've come to the right place. As the owner of a prominent Pacific Northwest stone shop with over two decades of experience and the author of the book Less Chaos, More Cash, our host knows more than just a little bit about the challenges of owning and operating a shop. You'll hear down-to-earth, real-life solutions you can implement today to calm your shop operation and generate more profit. Thanks for joining us, and here's our host, Aaron Crowley.
Welcome back to the Fab Lab Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Aaron Crowley. Haven't yet found somebody to fill in for me. And even if I had somebody, I wouldn't let them fill in because I am enjoying this podcast too much to share it. I'm not quite ready to delegate this task yet, but maybe someday I'll get to that. Oh, by the way, we're going to talk about delegation while we're on the subject. Today, episode 23, How to Delegate, Work Less, and Accomplish More. Now, when you hear that statement, work less and accomplish more, you might go, that doesn't add up. That's beyond my experience. I can't comprehend how working less translates into accomplishing more. But guess what? Delegation is not an addition problem in a math problem sense. Delegation is multiplication. You are taking what you know, the accumulated experiences that you have acquired over all the pain, suffering, the blood, sweat, and tears, the years, fellow stone shop owner. You're taking that, delegating it to somebody on your team, and then they get to take what you've learned and apply it. That multiplies your effectiveness, that multiplies your leadership, that empowers your company to fully benefit from all that you know, fellow stone shop owner. So delegation does, in fact, equal working less and accomplishing more. So today we're going to continue this conversation that we started last week. Actually, we started it about 4 weeks ago, and we talked about hiring, training, and retaining the best employees. Then we talked about in episode 21, how to get the most out of your crew, the difference between leadership and management. Last week, we talked about why it's important. In fact, it's critical to delegate. Well, in this episode, we're going to talk about the how. How do you go about delegating? And this became apparent to me that we needed to touch on this subject because at the end of the last episode, I presented a challenge, if you will, kind of a contest of sorts. And I said something to this effect. Hey, the first person to delegate a task in their business and contacts me and shows and demonstrates the formal delegation of that task to somebody on their team, I'll give you a free deluxe bulletproof apron. Well, now, deluxe bulletproof aprons are really nice. They're about $85, so there's a value there. But you know what? There's so much more at stake. I may have diminished the importance and the value of delegation by attaching such a small, and if you will, award for delegating. The stakes are so high, it is so important, fellow stone shop owner, that you not only learn why you should delegate, but you learn the principles so that you can delegate, because the power of delegation is transformational. I'm telling you that your life is at stake, not life or death, but I mean the life that you live inside and outside your work is affected by your ability to delegate or not. If you can't learn to delegate, your business will own your time while you're at work, and it will own your mind when you're not at work. I'm telling you, you cannot carry this burden long term without it having a negative effect on you while you're at work and having a negative effect on you when you leave work. Because if you can't delegate, you really never are able to leave the work at work. It follows you. It catches up with you. The emails, the texts, the phone calls, the things you forgot to do that pop into your mind at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night and cause you anxiety, that customer that you didn't call when you were hoping to call them on Friday to resolve that issue. If you can't learn to delegate, you can't escape the business. So it's so, so important. And if I diminish the value of delegation by that deluxe bulletproof apron prize, if you will, for the task of delegating, I apologize. It is so much more important than that. The stakes are so much higher. Now, that doesn't mean that the contest is ended. As of yet, nobody has emailed me, and so that bulletproof apron is still up for grabs. The first person to follow the protocols I'm going to share with you in today's episode contacts me through fabricatorsfriend.com. Go to the contact page, fill out the form, send me an email. You get that information to me first by following the steps that we're going to talk about today. We'll ship you a free, brand new, deluxe bulletproof apron. But that's just a prize. What you will gain by doing that, you can't put a price tag on it. The multiplication of your accumulated knowledge, wisdom, that is going to be applied in your business and multiplied in your business, the opportunity for you to become free of the business as you learn to delegate and as you learn how to more effectively delegate, you will be freed up. Your business will be more successful. Your employees will be more fulfilled because they're getting to do work that is meaningful to them. So everything about delegation is positive, so long as you're doing it correctly, which leads us to how. So how do you delegate? How does a leader effectively multiply getting stuff done through the others, the folks that report to them, the folks that they lead? Well, we're going to talk about that today in this episode, episode 23, how to delegate, work less, and accomplish more. So there's three principles within delegation. The first principle is so simple you're going to laugh. It's picking the task. You're probably doing 100 different tasks in your business. So you really do have to spend some time thinking through what task, where is the lowest hanging fruit, what task would make the biggest impact or would be easiest to begin with in this process of learning not only why, but how to delegate. You got to select the task. Number two, you actually have to delegate. Now, there's a three-step process for delegation. Once you have followed those protocols, then you got to follow the third step, which is implementation and following up, the persistent side of effective delegation. So pick the task, delegate it, and then implement and follow up. Those are the three topics we're going to talk about today. So number one, picking the task. How do you go about picking a task in your business to delegate? Do you put them all in a hat and stick your hand in there and pick one and say, okay, I guess we're going to delegate programming the CNC? Not necessarily. You've got to assess the business. You've got to assess reality. You've got to assess circumstances. You've got to assess potential impact that you're going to make by this decision. Now, my recommendation to you is that you start small. You don't pick the most complicated task in the business, like let's take estimating, for example, to begin with. Let's take something a little bit more simple, like maybe scheduling. We're going to get to that. But before we get into the specifics of picking the task, let's just think about some parameters. Here are some things to think about as you begin to get into this mindset, this new way of thinking, this new frame of mind around how to multiply what you know so that the work gets done through the people you lead, so you can multiply your efforts. Well, I would start with the easier. This is gut level. This is gut check level analysis. What tasks do you hate to do? Chances are tasks that you just despise, that you groan and moan and you put off. Chances are you're probably not very effective in that task. So, wow, would the company benefit if that particular task was being done consistently, on time, and correctly by somebody else? That's one way of starting. What tasks do you hate to do? Next, what are the tasks that you struggle with the most? It's not necessarily that you don't like them, but they're the most difficult for you to do. It's work that's maybe not natural to you. If you're a terribly disorganized person, templating and managing all of that information and communicating it effectively may be a struggle. It may not come naturally, where somebody who's just naturally organized might find themselves in a little bit easier position to fulfill that task. So assess, what are, of all the things that you do, what do you struggle with? What do you find difficult that you have to will yourself and really muscle through to accomplish well? Here's another one. What are the tasks that take the most time out of your schedule, but really have the least impact in terms of the business's concern? You spend lots and lots of time spinning your wheels, churning things up, and really at the end of the day, that time spent doesn't have a measurable impact on the performance of the company, the profitability of the company, the success of the company. Here's another one. What are the balls that you drop on a regular basis? The things that you set out to do, but somehow manage to forget, to avoid, to procrastinate. That could be another indicator of a task that might be worthwhile to start with, so long as it's not terribly complicated. That would be a way of assessing the business, assessing the needs of the company. Where would the company benefit? Where would you benefit from being relieved of tasks that you don't like to do, or you don't do naturally, or you don't do that well, or you don't do that consistently? You create a grid of sorts, a matrix. You look at that, you evaluate it, and say, where can we get the biggest bang for the buck, and what would be the simplest bang for the buck as we begin to learn how to delegate? Once you've done that, then you can get into the nuts and bolts of actually delegating, the formal steps to transfer a task that you're doing, officially and formally transferring the responsibility of that task to somebody in your company that you lead. We're going to get to that. That's step two. Before we get into that, I want to just touch base on a hypothetical. Let's consider scheduling calls. Any kind of call, any kind of communication that relates to the schedule could be a task that you could delegate to somebody. It's not unlikely that a lot of you listeners, a lot of you in the audience, still have an active role in the scheduling of the work because you know the work. You've got a sense of it. You've got a gut level sort of radar, if you will, for how to organize, how to arrange, how to manage all those details to maximize the schedule. But remember, in the last episode, if you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to episode 22. It's really important. We talked about the difference between, as a leader, and delegation. We talked about the difference of making decisions and carrying out the decisions. You see, the reality is with this hypothetical, for example, scheduling, you could still make the scheduling decisions, in a sense, optimizing what you do really well, but offloading the task of all the communications related to the schedule. You could very easily delegate that communication. You could have somebody who reports to you who actually picks up the phone and makes the calls, somebody who is responsible for taking the calls related to the schedule, and then you can take that information, you can make good decisions, and then return that to those folks so that they can carry that work out, making those difficult calls when necessary, or just simply making the calls at all. So we're basically going to use that throughout the rest of this episode as our baseline to refer to the concept of delegation, taking that task of the actual communication, whether it's the emails, whether it's the phone calls, sales appointments, templates, installs, return trips, warranties, confirmation calls, making sure jobs are ready, slab deliveries, you know, with material coming in, or even the scheduling inquiries that come in throughout the day, people asking about the schedule. You could delegate the task of that communication to somebody within the company and multiply your time. Your time is really valuable knowing how to manage the schedule. Somebody else's time can be spent making those calls. So we're going to talk about that throughout the rest of this episode. So that's step one, picking the task. Step two is the actual steps of delegation. What is formal delegation? Well, real quickly, I just want to mention, you've probably heard me mention this before, but my book, Less Chaos, More Cash, this is the essence of my book. That's why I'm so passionate about this subject. This subject has transformed my business. It's transformed my life. And so I wrote a book about it detailing this. So I'm going to just cover the high points, the high level principles, if you will. But there's a lot more to this discipline of delegation than I can really get to in a 20-minute episode on a podcast. So I would recommend that if you haven't bought my book, Less Chaos, More Cash, go to fabricatorsfriend.com, visit the book page. You can do one of two things. You can download the first three chapters for free, get a sense of it if you like it, but you got to buy it. You got to buy the book. If you want to be an effective leader, if you want to be an effective delegator, if you want to multiply all that you know in your business by delegating that work to the folks that you lead, you've got to pick up a copy of Less Chaos, More Cash. For as long as I've sold that book, which is about 10 years now, maybe it's actually 8.5 years, I've had a money-back guarantee. I've probably sold about 1,500 books. I have always offered a money-back guarantee, no questions asked. You spend $25 on a book and you don't think it's going to work for your company, email me. You don't even have to send me the book back. If you tell me I don't think it was worth the money and the read, I will send you your money back and you can keep the book and give it to another business owner who might implement the process. And that's really it. Less Chaos, More Cash is a process. It's a three-step process for effective delegation. The transfer of your knowledge base into effective work by your staff to get tasks done correctly and on time consistently so that your company can keep the promise it's made to the customer. So here are the three steps. Process. Process is really an acronym. At least the first three letters are. P-R-O of process stands for position, result, operation. Here are the three steps, and this is the order with which we delegate. First, we assign the position. Second, we define the result. And third, we design the operation. Assign the position, define the result, design the operation. That is the mantra of an effective delegator, of an effective leader. They don't just expect the folks they lead to know by osmosis, to know by mental telepathy, how to do the work or what work they need to get done. It's got to be delegated. That is on you, fellow stone shop owner. Assign the position, define the result, design the operation. So assigning the position, you've now assessed the work that you do. You've picked the task you don't want to do or you think would be more effectively performed by one of the fantastic people on your crew. Now you have to assign it. The question is, who do you assign it to? Well, you've got to look at your company through the prism of an org chart. You can't look at that work in light of the people who do the work. You've got to look at it in terms of the organization. What is the organizational structure? And more specifically, what are the positions that exist within your company that would make the most sense for performing the particular task? Now, if it's scheduling, which I said we're going to refer to throughout the rest of this podcast, you probably don't want to assign that task to your finisher or your CNC operator or your new install trainee or your measure up technician. That is a task better suited for somebody in the office in an admin-like position where they're at a computer most of the day, where they can field phone calls, where they have access to a phone in a quiet office to communicate effectively and consistently with the customer base. So somebody in your office, it could be a salesperson, it could be an admin person. Most likely, it's going to be somebody in that setting that you're going to assign that position to. But you've got to assess the org chart. You've got to assess the department. You've got to say, now, logically speaking, hypothetically speaking, what position makes the most sense to perform this task? Then you can choose for that period of time until otherwise noted, you can assign that task to that position. Next, you've got to define the result. Okay, now I've given you the scheduling task, Mrs. Office Admin Assistant. What do I want accomplished? What is it ultimately that I'm trying to do by delegating this task? So you've got to create, in a sense, you've got to write and document a summary of the result. My old mentor used to use this phrase, and he didn't coin it, but he used to refer to this all the time. Begin with the end in mind. I think it was Jim Collins, good to great. I think that was the originator of that phrase. Begin with the end in mind. That is the definition of defining the result. You've got to determine in advance, before you assign the task to that person, that position, you've got to decide, what is it exactly that I want accomplished when this task is completed? What is the essence of this task being accomplished? Well, we put that into measurable standards in terms of timing and in terms of tolerances, the variance from the ideal, if you will. So you write the summary statement. What is it that I'm trying to accomplish by having somebody else make these scheduling calls? It could be effective communication with our clients regarding scheduling, or to ensure that all clients know the schedule. You have to come up with that. It's a particular task that's going to be unique to your business because of the uniqueness of your business, but you've got to define it in a simple one or two at most sentence statement. That's the summary of the result. Then you've got to create the standards by which that person is going to be held to. When do you want them to make those calls? When is it too long to have waited to make a call? You've got to establish that. Certain calls might have certain parameters to them. Low-level warranty calls, maybe you give them a standard for 2 business days for a response. If it's somebody who wants a quote right now, maybe you say you make those calls before the end of the business day because it's too important to let prospects slip through our fingers. If it is a template call, a confirmation call, for example, in our business, we call all of our clients 3 days in advance for retail customers, and we call 2 weeks in advance and then 3 days in advance for all of our remodeling contractors just to make sure that the job is going to be ready like they said it was going to be. We would rather know 2 weeks and in some cases 3 days that it's not going to be ready, as opposed to the morning we show up in the template rig and there are no cabinets, or they're spraying lacquer, or the towel guys are in the kitchen. So that confirmation call, it's absolutely essential. Our scheduler does not get to miss that. That is done every single solitary day. There can be no variance from that standard. Every day those calls have got to be made. So you've got to define that, the timing and the tolerance. For this kind of a task, you might also add scripts, timing, tolerances, and scripts that have got to be included. What do you want them to say? Are you going to let them say anything they want, or is there going to be something specific that they can and cannot say in the context of those conversations related to scheduling? You may have some very specific parameters for what they cannot say related to the schedule. Oh, yeah, we can get that done. Well, that may not be a statement you permit your scheduler to say. So you've got to define that. That's one of those measurable standards, what you can and cannot say, when a job, when a task has got to be completed. The third step in delegation, first is assign the position. Second is define the result. Number three is design the operation. This is where you not only create the steps necessary for that person to follow to produce that result, but you document it. Ancient but profoundly true Chinese proverb, strongest memory weaker than faintest ink. That is to say that the most barely visible ink is going to be more powerful than the best memory. So part of delegation, a critical part of delegation, is not only writing the steps, creating the steps necessary to accomplish the result we have defined, it's got to be written down. It has got to be in the hands of the individual who has taken on this new task. You cannot tell verbally, you cannot give a person in your office a script verbally and expect them to recount it to the customer 3 days later. It's not possible. You can't tell them this has got to be done by 7, but that's got to be done by 3, and that you've got 3 days to do. You can't tell them that verbally and expect them to meet the result. It's got to be written down. And that is the difference. That is one of the major differences between an average delegator and an exceptional delegator. A mediocre delegator and an effective delegator. The difference is they're going to provide that information in written form so that the person who is now taking on that task can refer to it and can be successful performing that task, multiplying the effectiveness of that task and the volume of that task and its capacity once it's been transferred from the owner to that individual. So that's it. That's delegation. Delegation is assigning the position, defining the result, and designing the operation. The third step in how to delegate is to actually implement and follow up. So now you've gone to all the work, you've picked the position in the company, you define the results, you've got the document ready. Now you've actually got to go to that person and tell them, I have selected a new task for you to perform because I can't get it done. Well, it's more to it than that. Simply mentioning that in passing, simply alluding to it in, you know, vague terms is not sufficient. You have got to be crystal clear. When you take that step of formal delegation, it's a big deal. It's almost ceremonial. And quite frankly, part of the documentation step should be a formal signature step within that process that the employee, the person you're leading, the person you have assigned this task in the position that they fill, they formally in written form accept full and official responsibility by signing their name, agreeing to perform that task. It really is that important. Part of implementation is making sure there's absolute buy-in, there's no confusion, there's no question mark in that individual's mind, whether they're to do it or how to do it. And so you've got to make sure that there's absolute clarity. There's no ambiguity, no question in anybody's mind that that task has been officially and formally assigned. And then you've got to follow up. The fact is, old habits die hard. You can go through all the things that we've just discussed, hand that off, and the next day, that employee who had a rough night, or maybe they were out late watching their kids' baseball game, then they had something else going, and then they had a traffic jam on the way in, they're flustered, they get in, they get to work, they start working, and a whole day goes by, and it's possible that even a high-performing individual on your team could forget that just yesterday, they accepted formal responsibility for that task. So there's got to be a mechanism in place to remind that doesn't require you to be at their desk 8 hours a day going, oh, remember, you got to make that call. Oh, You didn't make that call. Remember, it's 3 o'clock. What about that call? So what's a busy business owner leader to do if they can't be there 8 hours a day for the next 3 weeks to make sure that that individual, you know, takes on that task? Well, checklists. I know that sounds simple and simplistic, and guess what? It is simple and it is simplistic, but it is unbelievably effective. And guess what? It doesn't diminish the employee. It doesn't insult the employee at all. It actually is a huge help. It helps them to remember when you create a step. The only thing I got to do, if I have gone through all the work of assigning, defining, and then designing those steps, I can, in a sense, compile the high-level standards that I need accomplished, and I can put those on a little checklist form, and I can say, listen, at the end of the day, I want you to review this to make sure that you don't forget anything, and then turn it in. And then guess what? The only thing I really have to do as an owner is to remind them to fill out the checklist. I don't have to remind them about the specifics because the specifics are on the checklist. That way you are once again saying to that individual, I trust you. I'm just simply giving you a tool to help you remember how to do this task successfully until it becomes second nature. So for the next 2 or 3 weeks, every day, I want you to review this checklist. Anything you forget to do throughout the day, you'll be reminded. Get it done, check it off, sign it, date it, put it on my desk. Guess what? The employee is going to thank you because most employees desperately want to do a good job, and checklists like this help them do that. And so it doesn't diminish them. It's not an insult to them. It is an incredibly powerful tool for you in the implementation of a task you have decided to delegate for the good of the company and, quite frankly, for the good of yourself using checklists. So to continue on in our reference in our hypothetical scheduling call task, that scheduling call task checklist would have the different types of scheduling calls that they would make over the course of the day. It would have the timing standards that are correlated to those individual types of calls, and it would simply act as a reminder. You would list that out. It would be a place for them to sign. There'd be a place for them to date it. They review it at the end of the day before they clock out. It reminds them, oh, I forgot to make that warranty call, or I forgot to make that 3-day confirmation call. I better get that done before I check this off and turn it into the boss. Guess what? In a matter of days, maybe weeks, they're going to own that. It's going to be a part of what they do. It's going to become second nature. They won't even have to think about it. The checklist can be, in a sense, decommissioned. It won't be necessary any longer once they are successfully following those protocols, producing those results. You will have a task that is being more effectively performed in the company. And guess what? You won't be having to do it. You won't even have to be thinking about it. This frees you up to do more important work, utilizing, fully using all of the experience that you have acquired and applying it to the success of the business. Then you could do it again. You can do it again. You can find another task that you're bogged down with that maybe isn't the best use of your extremely valuable time. You take that task, you assess the organization, you assign the position, you define the result, you design the operation, you then implement it formally, even ceremonially if necessary. You hand them a checklist so that they can refer to it and successfully adopt that task as their own until it becomes second nature. And then guess what? You've got even more time. Now you even multiply what you do well. You've got even more time for that kind of work to apply to the company. And then you find another task. You know what? The company and I would be better served if I offloaded yet another task. I'm going to assign the position, define the result, design the operation, implement it effectively, ceremonially, accompanying with a checklist, and then I'm going to move on. And pretty soon, the next thing you know, the stuff that you thought only you could do is being done by others and more effectively, more quickly, making the customer even more happy and making your company even more profitable. That is the essence of delegation, of leading by effective delegation. You actually accomplish more, or at least the company accomplishes more, by your good leadership and your effective delegation. More is accomplished in less time. You get more done while working less. And every time you delegate a task, every time you effectively delegate, you free yourself up even more to do what you were born to do what you are naturally gifted to do, to apply that. You get fulfillment. The company gets the benefit. The company benefits because you're not bogged down doing crap that you don't do well anyway. causing the company to suffer. Everything about effective delegation benefits you, benefits your company, and benefits your employees. So, fellow business owner, I hope you have enjoyed this little short series on leadership and delegation, because it has the power to transform your business and it has the power to transform your life as the owner of that business. So let me end with this. Learning why and learning how to delegate is so it's 1,000 times more important than the cost of an apron, a free deluxe bulletproof apron. But the contest is still running. Nobody as of yet has emailed me through the contact form at fabricatorsfriend.com demonstrating that they have followed this protocol and taken a task, assigned it, defined it, and designed it, offloaded it so that the company benefits and so that you benefit. The first person to do that still gets a free deluxe bulletproof apron, $85 value. I hope you will carry this out for the sake of your business, and I look forward to getting that email and mailing you your apron. But more importantly than that, I look forward to continuing this conversation, continuing our relationship, if you will, via the podcast, via social media. So I hope that you will check out our Instagram page. If you're not familiar with it, we're always posting cool stuff there. I also hope that you'll check out our Facebook page. We're still learning how to utilize that. We want to create an opportunity for you to chime in, to respond, to ask questions, clarification, even challenge us if necessary. So check out our Facebook page as well. Visit fabricatorsfriend.com. And until next week, happy fabricating.